Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Andrew Gall. Welcome you to our Aim of Our series of webinars and podcasts. Today, we've got the pleasure of having Chris Lowe from NotWix, who Chris and I go back many years, known him from running this fantastic network investment network, and very pleased to have him on to share his insights around scaling and growth of ventures. So just some brief context. We're seeing that this phenomenal change now, technology-driven, startup-driven, which is impacting lots of industries. So in this example, you know, energy and automotive is being transformed into a digital-driven electric vehicle distributed energy type network. In the retail space, we're moving from retail stores, as we're seeing the decimation on the high street, to delivery services. But really, what's the future of blended sort of retail sort of solutions? Health sector, which we covered recently with AstraZeneca and with Merck, is moving from hopefully sickness in hospitals to therapies outside of the hospital, and how is data and new services impacting and giving better wellness for patients. And as I said, we've got books which are available on the Eventbrite sort of website, which sort of covers the what I term now innovative new value chain. So how are we connecting different technologies and different startups to impact significant industries? Startups, how they scale, and how they are going to be impacting industries. So on that basis, I'd like to, after giving that sort of context, I'd like to hand over to Chris now. To Chris, if you could give us an introduction to yourself and NotWix first, please, that'd be a great kickoff. Yeah. And if you can remember when we first met, that'll be better than me.
I think it was 2014 when NotWix as an entity was under under the Bloomberg umbrella, which I'll quickly skim through the history. But before I do, I love the fact you called me the meat in the meeting rather than the sandwich, Andrew. Thank you for that. quite an interesting introduction. Then the other thing as well, I'm interested that you're attempting to explore the Clubhouse world, which I don't know if anyone has already. Very interesting, obviously fast growing, I think almost already unicorn status app, and you know, clearly geared to the COVID world in the sense that it's an audio platform that you can jump into and jump out of meetings. I have played around a bit with it. As I mentioned to you, Andrew, and it's good, but it is somewhat unusual that you get some complete random strangers with extremely weird handles kind of suddenly jumping into your meeting, and you're kind of unsure about who on earth they are. So I mean, I love it. I love the fact it's very collaborative, but I think the jury still is perhaps slightly out.
We'll see how it goes out. When I first went onto it, I had the same feeling as when I first went onto Twitter. And I went onto Twitter and I thought, what's this thing with only 140 characters? And this is never going to take off. I initially felt like that with that, but it'd be interesting to see how Clubhouse sort of develops. But we can pick that up after, or people can come drop in or find out from me how to get on it.
So. Yeah, no, I admire your bravery in taking that challenge on, Andrew. But then, yeah, look, and also amazing work, I have to say, Andrew, for what you've created, you know, with this podcast and the business. I mean, congratulations, because clearly you started this in March or April last year. And
we went online trying to take the things when we were doing this with Henley or with Aim of Our, running things for corporates and sort of stuff like that. Really, for years, we've been about how do we bring these ecosystems and that together, and we've had to pivot and that into this sort of online world, and that for the moment
seems like you're doing it very well. So look, you know, thank you for the opportunity today, and you know, good afternoon, everyone. So Introduce myself and NotWix, or now that's what I call startups. For the people who, there's a few people on screen who I know as well who've been fond kind supporters of NotWix over the years. NotWix started off as a pitch event in May 2012 at Google Campus. It subsequently grew to hundreds and hundreds of pitch events under the auspices of Bloomberg, largely because the startup I created around the same time as NotWix was acquired by Michael Bloomberg in November 2012. So what I did, joined Bloomberg, took NotWix as a sort of early stage platform to Bloomberg with me, and they were very keen to, throw lots of money at the events, and we had lovely evenings in their plush auditorium, where generally the NotWix platform was set up to showcase startups and scale-ups to usually audiences of investors, and to do all those great things that physical events, as we remember, were good at: the networking, the connectivity, the amazing canapés and alcohol that Bloomberg used to throw at any event they ever do, and basically kind of cultivate collaboration. And subsequent to that, I also continued my career till 2017 at Bloomberg, and then decided, largely through working with not just the, my role at Bloomberg actually was both public technology companies as well as private technology companies. As at that period, 2012 to 17, obviously the world was extremely on fire around the private tech companies. I had the great opportunities to work with fantastic companies like Deliveroo, LendInvest, Nutmeg, HelloFresh, TaskRabbit in the States, a company which was bought by Cisco, and effectively my role within Bloomberg was to sort of build the relationships of Bloomberg with these private companies. So TV, journalism, events, content, and effectively connect the Bloomberg community of investors or other practitioners that owned a Bloomberg into those companies. And effectively, I suppose, if I'm not being too facetious, Bloomberg were treating this area as very much a moonshot type of operation, where potentially they, they could perhaps upsell and gain value from that community by building enough of a community to rival the hundreds of banks, the hundreds of fund managers, and the hundreds of corporate treasury departments that they sold thousands and thousands of terminals into. However, in 2017, really, when because the actual business was the moonshot type area that I was in was more so the brainchild of Tom Secunda and Dan Dotroff, who were Michael Bloomberg's lieutenants at the time, while he was off being mayor of New York. And effectively, Mr. Bloomberg came back, and it was MiFID, and it was GDPR, and it was kind of, that was the kind of order of the day, and crazy areas of kind of moonshotness were somewhat off the radar in 2017. So very amicable departure on my behalf. And, I'd been used to being thrown out of investment banks before for many years, of 18 years of being a stockbroker. So it was actually really pleasant leaving a tech company, because it was all like, yeah, great. We just kind of, here's some money, and, we like you. We know we're going to see you again. We, perhaps in a few years, you can come back to our swanky new auditorium, because I've got an even swankier one now in Cannon Street, and do some more events with us. So, and also, to be perfectly honest, on my behalf, what I spotted as an opportunity was there were lots of people very, very focused on those businesses that were scale, Series A, Series B, Series D, Series E, big glory companies, lots of consultants falling over themselves to service those companies because they had the cash. So I rather stupidly decided to set up a consultancy that was focused on pre-seed to Series A, where basically, as we all know, founders hardly have any cash, or it's a big constraint. So call me mad, but basically I just thought, well, look, those founders definitely need help with things like investor relations. So, who are the right investors? Build the map, target those investors, and then puts them in touch with that particular company, and you know, go off and off piste, a bit like Bloomberg, where we used to connect people. They used to go off, and next thing you knew, you know, some big VC had invested, you know, 20 million in a company, and he'd come back and say, "Oh, so thank you very much for that introduction, Chris. You know, we put all that money into this particular business. Well, and you know, thanks for that." And you know, that goodwill engineers further goodwill. So we do that. We do the map. We do the targeting, and then hopefully, if we're doing our job, you know, in Notwix, we do successful investor relations. And you know, so that's one piece of the digital. The second piece of what we do is the commercialization, which is a growing thing. You know, have nearly 500 contacts in tech, media, and telco, fashion, finance, retail, as well as my colleagues. I have five other people in the business now that are serious practitioners from family offices or VC or investment banking backgrounds, freelancers, work from home, love Zoom. You know, we were perfectly built for the world we're in now because, you know, I started this as a work from home project. And, you know, clearly I think I was one of the first ever customers of Zoom because I noticed it was free. And if you could keep it 40 minutes and then reload on the same link. So I've never played Zoom and apps a penny, but that's another story. So second bit of what we do is that. Third bit of what we do is the awareness. So I've got strong links in the press. We're contributing editors to a number of digital publications, one of which is Maddiness UK, which is a fast growing publication where we recommended over 30% of their founders that they wrote about work came through Notwix last year. And I think about 25% of the VCs they wrote about were VCs that we knew and connected them into Maddiness. So we do that to help our founders, especially. So, you know, Bloomberg, Evening Standard, Maddiness, and several other publications. And then the last piece of any consultancy's jigsaw puzzle is we work with strategy, which, you know, depending on that particular business, it can range from absolutely anything. It can be, how do I do terms? What's our valuation? What's the nature of how we should be communicating with this VC. We need some coaching. Our deck is awful. There's 140 words on the first slide. That is not going to fly with any of the investors we know. So that's the background. That's Notwix. That's what we do. And that, then what does this constitute in terms of knowing about the environment we're in? We also write, and I recently published a piece, which I think Andrew may have read, he's on the distribution, which, you know, we every couple of months, especially during the COVID period, we've been writing these diaries of sentiment. I unfortunately don't have the luxury of having of data researchers like Beauhurst or some of those other institutions that do a great job, and I love all the data reports they do. Like any good stockbroker, I know that markets are driven as much by sentiment as they are by data. So what we do and with our surveys is effectively we go out to mainly the UK VC high net worth and European communities to ask them. And over the course of January, we asked over 80 VCs for their views on what is going on in the world. They're very, very kind in providing feedback for those surveys. And some of the conclusions at the moment on where we are in 2021 or January or February 2021 is it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, you Chris, know, before you go on to that, just I've posted in the chat the link to Chris's newsletter. And just to reiterate or sort of summarize, really, I think, you know, Chris does a great job in his pitch events, is online company profiles and what's happening sort of within the sector. So it's just re-emphasizing, it'll be worthwhile you go in and looking at Notwix. And I think, Chris, your newsletters and the insights you're getting from your surveys, as you said, it's not about data, but it's really quite gritty and to the point.
Yeah.
You know, in bold and in capitals, you were shouting out about what the sentiment is, where the Americans are coming here and bumping up valuations and why they're sort of coming in and what's happening in the, you know, the pre-seed, seed and series A sort of type thing. But just before we get into the weeds of that sort of stuff, I'd appreciate you just giving a bit of a definition maybe of the pre-seed Series A? Because I know it certainly varies between countries and where things are in the time. And I know on the call today, we've got early angel investors, which are putting their 10K of SEIS money in. We've got early startups who are looking for that first money. We've got ones who've done a number of rounds. So it'd be great if you could just give me a little bit of context about what those terms are first, and we can then get in how the sentiment of these things are changing, please.
Yeah, it is a myriad when it comes to the classification of rounds. You know, you can have some companies who say, oh, we're doing our seed, and it's because they've never raised before and they're 5 years old and their seed is, you know, 30 million at a valuation of 180 or whatever. But I mean, the general rule of thumb, and you know, and in the report that Andrew referred to, you know, I would say Series A at the moment, and especially at the moment, because this is one of the interesting aspects of the report, that virtually every single VC we talked to said Series A is on fire. They have never been busier. There are so many fantastic businesses to be invested in. They, you know, clearly we're at that point and we all read about it and talk about it. Digital or AI revolution. I think it's fair to say there's been a lot talked about that over the last 12 to 18 months. I think really now the money is going to work, and it's going to continue to go to work at Series A level upwards. Over the, and this is also another interesting fact, that it's not a seasonal blip up, that this is all money that was kept back from last year. This is a real, you know, it started last year, it's continuing. It's not a kind of like, oh, we'll get to Q1 and then it will all fall down. People that we talked to said this is really the start, in their opinion, of a good 18 months to 2 years of solid, high quality investment at Series A and above in the tech space. And there are lots of fantastic companies that they're looking at. All of the traditional, you know, all the verticals that we can dig into in a minute, because I'm going to answer Andrew's question more precisely. So that's the Series A bit. The next, what we classify Series A at the moment is, it, you know, the rounds that people are talking about, the really hot rounds, around 20 million plus. Yeah. So it, I remember 3 or 4 years ago, a Series A was 5 million in the UK. You know, things have changed. What has happened is now we're looking at the, you know, the next level or the next step up to Series A is bridge or seed. I would classify, you know, a seed round at the moment is most people are saying it's 5 million. I think a few of the VCs are a bit like, things are getting a bit racy on the valuation side at the moment. They're like, oh yeah, you know, they commented, oh Chris, you know, I've just been offered another seed round at 5 million at a pre-money valuation of 20. It's almost like someone has read a book last year that saying, like, if you approach a VC, you should always ask for, you know, 5 million at a pre-money valuation of 20. You know, it seems like the finger in the wind. So we all know that's not the case when it comes to valuation. So that's the sort of seed. The bridge is anywhere obviously between the 5 and the 20 at the moment. I'd probably say people that we talk to, their bridges are anywhere from 8 to 12. And you know, I would also caveat this, we are talking about probably the most successful businesses or startups that are out there. You know, I caveat this with the point that I would say, in through my studies, 80% of businesses before they get to you know, Series A fall over or fail. So you think about it, these are the businesses that are the top 20%, you know, that people are talking about. And, you know, it's kind of, I'll give you my views on the press and how they get this all wrong later on. But, you know, so that's that piece. Then on for the angels that are listening on the call, you know, what it's pre-seed, you know, pre-seed is kind of anywhere, you know, from at the moment, you know, most pre-seed rounds, if it's a decent business, are a million to 5 million. And, you know, again, the market seems to be rippling, i.e., from what our survey has shown us, and continuing conversations, because naturally we are advising, we choose to advise a number of companies, or they choose to work with us, and so we have regular conversations with different funds on a sometimes day to day basis, and angels. You know, it's a kind of you know, the momentum is, you know, it's there, it's good, you know, it's kind of, we're seeing, you know, hot in Series A, warming up and getting pretty hot in Bridge and Seed, and, you know, COVID, you know, killed pre-seed last year, I would say. There were peaks and troughs, but on the whole, I think, you know, there were sort of several classifications of angels where some just departed completely in March and haven't come back. Some are, you know, the more professional angels did their cherry picking throughout the year and made their investments. And some of the, you know, the angel clubs, and I imagine some of the people from the Henley Business Angels that are on, you know, you kept investing even though COVID was there. I think now, you know, what we are probably going to see this year, or what people were alluding to, is at the pre-seed level, you know, EIS, SEIS, you've got to get all your stuff done by early April. We could see a bit of a flurry towards the end of this quarter. Q2 was widely seen as, like, you know, could start to get back into gear. But in essence, you know, I think you must have sort of...
I didn't get that.
Oh, hello.
Could you try again?
Sorry, that's my watch talking to me. I didn't get that. Okay. I'm sorry about that. There you go. And then I think what was clear to me and clear where sentiment is moving to with pre-seed and angels and family offices and some in essence, it's, you know, September, people were starting to sort of pinpoint as, you know, if we are going to go back to the races and really go for it, it's going to be September. And, you know, which is quite interesting. And I think also caveat this against the background of, like, look, you know, this time last year, I was talking to lots of different people when I did this first survey, and there were various different VCs going, oh, you know, I'll just carry on meeting people through Zoom, and but then we have to see them, we have to meet them face to face if we're gonna invest. Oh, no, that has completely changed. There are so many people who are just deploying capital and they've never met any of these people.
Yeah. That's been supported by a number of the corporates that we've had on. Yeah. Merck, BMW, Shell, they've all sort of said, yeah, you know, their first priority has been to look after their current portfolio, and mm-hmm. they've ensured they've got the capital. That was certainly what I was sort of seeing in Q2, Q3 in that last year, but then coming into the back end of last year and into this year, they're out sort of deploying in that again.
And I think, you know, going, that's a good point, Andrew. I mean, I also think the sense that I've got in essence is not just the mindset shift around working, you know, investing virtually, working virtually, you know. So a majority of the angels are, like, now they're investing over Zoom, and they were kind of, like, very reticent that they wanted to, you know, last year they wanted to meet people still and you know, so they could trust them and see the whites of the eyes. I mean, I think it's almost as if people have got used to that. And I think, and I hate to say this because I didn't really want to talk about COVID and the wider world, I think, you know, what the perspective of, that I got from, you know, all of the seed investors, all of the Series A investors, all of the angels that we talked to, is like, look, you know, COVID's here, you know, we you know, it's just one of those things. We've just got to learn to live with it, and we've got to carry on, and we've got to continue to invest. We invest for 7, 8, 10 years. You know, we're building businesses now that will be great businesses. And by the time they actually, some of them mature, they might, you know, COVID might be a faint, you know, something we teach our kids in a history lesson and the great COVID years. But, you know, you don't know. And also it's kind of like, we've just got to get on with this. And there could be a COVID 20 and there could be a lockdown 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. But we got to work. And digital is the way to do this going forward. And we invest digitally. You know, it's kind of like, it's somewhat ironic with some of these funds and angels that they're investing in technology companies, and there was an aversion at the start of all this to actually using technology to do that investing.
Yeah, yeah.
So So it's and changed
on its... from the recent survey and the email that you sent out yesterday, I think it was, what can you reiterate some of the key sectors that you feel are hot and are going to mm-hmm. power out of this one, and which ones are going to turn down a bit? So if you could give maybe a tech or a sector sort of perspective.
Yeah, I think, you know, I suppose it's caveating that a bit in context of some of the businesses we've maybe worked with whilst we've been a consultancy. So, for instance, you know, telehealth, you know, we worked with a business called Visionable, which was at the time, this was 2018, we helped them with their late seed round. So Alan Lowe, unfortunately, he is no relation, so there's no sort of nepotistic link there. But, you know, they are fantastic business. They're kind of like Zoom for ambulances, smart ambulances, and, you know, connecting physicians from the hospital to the home, so they can do their work properly via Visionable. You know, classic example, we worked with them at a very early stage. They are potentially now looking at a huge round with US institutions this year. And, you know, I think they're engaged with a number of the large global investment banks to do that particular round. So that's a sort of an indication of how hot that space is. You know, another business we worked with very early doors was, many years, going back to Bloomberg times, but continued through Notwicks, was a cybersecurity business called Featurespace. I think, you know, and I don't want to clang, but we are also launching our own podcast called Found Stars and Fun Stars. And I'm only going to say one thing, because this is your brief, Andrew, that Martina, who is the CEO of Featurespace, has just filmed one of those episodes with us. Excellent. And it's quite clear from those conversations and from where we are in terms of, you know, your sector focus, cybersecurity is still a huge need. COVID has accelerated that need. Cybercrime is, as we all know, it is going through the roof. It's horrendous, some of the stuff that's going on, you know, not just through the fact that, you know, we're all on devices within our homes. I have three kids. Fortunately, none of them have interrupted us yet, because I told them not to. And I also bribed them with these to not come in the room. You know, it's clear to me, cybersecurity, Featurespace is what I think Bohurst survey had them at number 8 or 9 as the best AI technology company in private technology company in the UK. Darktrace, which is also a brother or sister of theirs, was number 5. They're from the same sort of Mike Lynch Invoke Capital stable, but, you know, they're the headline acts that potentially, I imagine, you know, don't quote me on this, but I think Darktrace is up to IPO this year. I think my friends at the LSE told me that or at some point this year. Featurespace, I imagine, will be hot on their heels if they want to go down that route. What that means is affirmation, certainly within UK tech, of a particular vertical that will just accelerate more and more founders to do more and more, to build more and more smart cybersecurity businesses. So I think cybersecurity, telehealth. On the other sectors, I think the interesting ones that were slight curveballs of conversations that I've had, live streaming is apparently going to explode this year, according to several VCs, in the sense that, you know, we've all experimented with webinars, different ways of kind of engaging online. Especially in e-commerce, there is an opportunity from, you know, I suppose it's an extension from all these like people on Instagram, like product placement, look at my lovely dress, you know, click here to buy. It's more that it's people streaming their products, talking to you about that e-commerce.
Yeah, very much agree with that. That, like, those three steps that I sort of showed there, well, you've just iterated now the health one, that's going to that sort of data sort of side of things. Yeah. The new retail one, as you know, sort of Loan Design Club, where you've helped and run some events at that fashion business that I've been working with. Yeah. And, you know, that one now, of course, retail is shut down, so physical stores are shut. Just having products delivered through the post is not a good experience for that sort of fashion type thing. So I agree with you that that live streaming, that live interaction with consumers, and that blend of online and offline, I do agree, it is also going to be one that's going to be transformed when we start coming out of this. And the experiments are now happening in this sort of space. So I could see where you're coming from with that. Finish off with one more question from your newsletter, and then we'll open it up to other questions from other people around. So feel free to put your comments or questions, and we'll bring others in. The last aspect I wanted to raise was the geographical sort of perspective. You highlighted that the headline I thought was amusing was American Werewolf in London, American money and that sort of dynamic. Yeah. Your perspectives on that international aspect or the US sort of perspective, please, and then we'll move on to other questions.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the great thing about I don't want to say the great thing about COVID, but one of the things it's changed, which has been beneficial, I think, for founders especially, is the interest from international investors. For a long time, Bjorn and Elizabeth can probably attest to this, that they'd be flying over to London every other couple of weeks and they'd take in a startup event and then they'd maybe come back and they'd meet face to face with that particular business. And that can all be done by Zoom now. It's as simple as that. And what that has accelerated is obviously international pools of cash, cross investing. And from what our conversations suggested, certainly with a lot of the VCs, who we talked to so far, Concentric, Albion, Mess Ventures, they all were of a universal opinion that this kind of like American invasion or American werewolf in London has it's been talked about for many, many years, but it's happening now. You've got Bessemer, you've got Lightspeed, you've got Sequoia, you've got, big West Coast US names who are very actively participating and investing in rounds. And this is only going to continue, according to the people we spoke to. It's only going to get larger. It's impacting valuations, naturally, because I think there's a clear diffusion, certainly with US investors, that what's another 3 or 4 million on the valuation? Let's just get the deal done. This is going to be a huge, huge unicorn, and let's move on to the next one. Whereas, obviously, I suppose the US VCs are obviously more focused on the downside risk and slightly more traditional in their sort of assessments of some of the business. Although that being said, quite a lot of them have evolved into the American style of investing, so I wouldn't be too facetious there. And that's another point of what I'm trying to make here is, I think with that evolution of international capital, not just US as well, we've seen interest. With our business, we had some of our companies have been approached by Swiss, German, Russian, we do our due diligence on some of the international inflows of capital. It's opening up. And I think what that means is the growth is going to continue, and the funnels of capital are coming to the UK, especially earlier, because they want to be involved. And I mentioned Series A, but there are instances of some of the US investors looking further down, what's termed as further down the pipe, at seed and even pre-seed, if it's a business that is super hot. They are kind of, perhaps, and this is also something we could drill into, that COVID has created that opportunity, because what is the traditional bastion of angel investors and some of those angels pulling back en masse has created the opportunity for more micro funds and seed funds to get into businesses earlier and to take more risks.
Great. Thank you very much, Chris. Just to reiterate to folks, we'll have this as a sort of a video and a podcast. I've reposted in the chat connection to Chris's Notwick's newsletter, so feel free to connect to that, and I'm sure his podcasts are going to be really entertaining in that as well, so I'll be subscribing to that when it does. No, no yes. Pressure, Chris. So thank you all very much. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Andrew.
Please subscribe to future podcasts and please give us a 5-star rating on your platform. Thank you.